A caste system is a class structure or social order that is determined by birth. The caste system is deeply rooted in Hinduism and has spiritual components to it. In India, the caste system divides Hindus into four main categories that are ranked in order of class importance, available occupations, and lifestyle privileges. And above this caste system are the gods, lowercase g. And then in order of importance from top to bottom in India, number one, you have the priest and the teachers. Number two, you have the warriors and the rulers. Number three, you have the farmers, the traders, and the merchants. And then number four, you have the laborers. There is, however, one more level in this caste system. As a matter of fact, this level is considered below the system itself, literally outcast, meaning out of the caste system. This group of people that are below the caste system are called the Dalits. The Dalits. And the word Dalit comes from the Hindi word meaning oppressed, suppressed, or downtrodden. And Dalits face discrimination and even violence from members of higher caste or traditional social classes, particularly in terms of access to jobs, education, and marriage partners. Dalits are also known as the untouchables, as they are consigned by the Hindu hierarchy to the dirtiest occupations. So today in our text in Mark 1, we're going to be looking at Jesus' astonishing encounter with a Dalit, an untouchable. Only six verses, but a powerful message. So Mark chapter 1, you're probably already there. Page 700 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to use that. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read our text for today, verses 40 through 45. Jesus and the Dalit. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." But instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You may be seated. So as we make our way through our text this morning, Jesus heals a leper. I want to just encourage you, especially those who have been around here for a while, as you look at your sermon guide, not a lot of blanks to actually fill in. That's on purpose, because often when we work our way through a narrative, I just want you to take the opportunity to write down what kind of jumps out at you. So that's why there's some spaces there. It's nothing to do with the slide guy messing it up. So just, it's just getting you to kind of engage with the whole message. So please work with me on this. That would be great. As we pick up in verse 40, we pick up with two main characters in this narrative. Two main characters. It says in the first part of verse 40, there was a man with leprosy who came to Jesus. And I want us to see the contrast between these two characters, because it couldn't be more glaring, folks. In this short narrative, the contrast couldn't be more glaring. First of all, you have Jesus. And we know that people were flocking to see Jesus in anticipation of his teaching and his healing. The name of Jesus was gaining popularity and spreading like wildfire. As a matter of fact, earlier in chapter 1 of Mark, we read that news about Jesus spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, so that the whole town gathered at the door to see Jesus. And then remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Peter exclaimed to Jesus, and here's a phrase you might want to write down under the characters. It's not going to be on the screen, I told you, but here we go. Everyone, Peter said this, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. That's important when we talk about the characters in this story. Everyone is looking for you. Then we have the character of the leper, the man with leprosy. I thought as I was thinking through this narrative and these characters, perhaps he's unnamed because his condition was more important than his name. How sad. His condition was more important than his name. People went out of their way to avoid him. In contrast to Jesus, listen, no one is looking for him. Peter said, everyone is looking for you, Jesus. When it came to the leper, no one is looking for him. So we have these two characters, Jesus and the Dalit. In verse 40, it introduces us to the characters, but also to the condition. We have the condition of leprosy, and I just want to give you some background as it relates to Scripture and this disease of leprosy. It's mentioned several times in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It literally means an infectious skin disease. In the Gospel of Luke, it's recorded that leprosy was common in Old Testament Israel. If you are having a hard time sleeping at night, you might want to go to Leviticus 13 and 14 and read through the multiple verses about dealing with leprosy. It's handled at length in the Old Testament law as far as how to recognize it and how to deal with it. And this condition, when we get to the time of Jesus, I want you to know that leprosy is still prevalent. We know this because according to the Gospels, Jesus heals the leper in our text today. He also heals a group of 10 lepers, and most likely he heals Simon the leper, because in the Gospels there's an account where Jesus goes to his home and has a meal there, and he's called Simon the leper. Well, just so you know, he'd have to be Simon the healed leper, because no one would have a meal at his home. And the reason why Jesus was probably there is because he probably healed them. So this is part of Jesus' ministry. And I also think there's a few times in the Scriptures where we read that Jesus healed many diseases. So there are probably more lepers that he healed that are just not mentioned. So this is rampant in the first century, this condition of leprosy. And the question that came to my mind was this. How would this condition have affected this man? How would this condition have affected this man? Well, three ways. First of all, physically. Physically, this would have affected this man. Leprosy was a bacteria that would spread to their hands, their feet, their face, and their earlobes. Patients with leprosy could experience disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, and curling of the fingers. The facial changes included thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose. It also brought about nerve damage, which was the loss of pain sensation. And that is in itself very dangerous, because in those days, a leper could easily pick up a cup of boiling water, not knowing that it was boiling, and damage their skin, but not even feel it. So this loss of nerve sensation or pain sensation. Another physical part of this is no known cure, folks. In those days, there was no known cure. And I do believe that the Bible tells us that there were varying degrees of leprosy, but I want you to keep this in mind for this narrative, that according to the cross-reference of this story in the Gospel of Luke, Luke says that this man was covered with leprosy. Not just one spot, not just two spots, he was covered with leprosy. So physically, he was overwhelmed with this disease. And you can imagine just the impact that would have on him physically. But it wasn't just physically, it's also emotionally. Emotionally. As I'm thinking about the emotional impact of leprosy on this man, I'm drawn to some of these commercials I see on TV. It seems like 4 out of 5 commercials are about a medicine. or medication. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. And sometimes they're related to kind of skin issues or skin diseases, because people want them to be healed up and so they can wear their short sleeves and not feel embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? So they've got this going. Imagine a leper who there's no known cure, and emotionally what he's dealing with. Here's some of the emotional issues of a leper of Jesus' day. They were considered an outcast, a walking dead man. One word for a leper you probably should remember: untouchable. Untouchable. The Jewish historian Josephus said that a leper was in no way different from a corpse. They had to practice social distancing, which included their family members and loved ones. Some of them had to wear clothes to identify themselves as lepers to others. Some lived in isolated communities. And emotionally, then there was the discouraging and humiliating chant of unclean, unclean, if anybody got close to them. While fever was the leading cause of death at the time of Jesus, leprosy was the leading cause of shame. Physically and emotionally. And also spiritually. Spiritually, they were affected with this condition of leprosy. Why? Because they were ceremonially unclean as a Jew. They were not allowed to attend synagogue or temple worship. As a matter of fact, in those days, leprosy was considered to be a sign of God's judgment. You must be doing something wrong. What did you do? What did your parents do? Leprosy also illustrated the curse of sin and its destructive power. So there was this spiritual component of this condition. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. And all these things are important in this narrative. Not just the characters, but also the condition. And then verse 40 ends with what I call a critical moment. A critical moment. Looking down again at your Bibles, it says at the end of verse 40, the man with leprosy came to him, came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees. That phrase, begged him, means he implored him. Write it down. A desperate cry for help. This phrase literally means that Jesus was approached by this man up close to make a request. It literally means to make an up close request. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? He was a leper, and he was willing to risk rejection by getting as close as he could to Jesus to say, please help me. He's imploring him on his knees, please help me. Perhaps he had heard the news about Jesus that spread throughout the area. This critical moment continues, as it says in verse 40 at the end, where the leper says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What a critical moment. The leper realized that he had no place else to go but to Jesus. And I want you to know, folks, that's not that bad of a place to be in. He realized he had no place else to go but to Jesus. He had no one else to turn to but Jesus. You see, in those days, the rabbis considered leprosy humanly incurable, but this leper was convinced that Jesus could heal him. He's literally saying to Jesus, this is all on you, Jesus. I've tried everything else. I've tried everything else to get myself clean. And I love how this man at this critical moment approaches Jesus without presumption and without doubt. So we have this critical moment, and this narrative continues or moves from this critical moment into verses 41 and 42, where I see two things happening, incredible things here. And for those of you, I can see some of you have heard this story before, and it's well known to you or familiar to you. Don't miss it, folks. As it moves to 41 and 42, we see the compassion and care that's in this narrative. We first start with the compassion of Jesus. Look at verse 41. And some of your text, and the text I read this morning, says this: Jesus was indignant. Now, others may have other things, but my text today has Jesus was indignant. And as I'm reading that, I'm going, hey, some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought you said this was about the compassion of Jesus. Doesn't indignant mean angry? Jesus was angry? Well, yes, But let me explain it to you. The word indignant means to show anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. All other translations use a different Greek word that means moved with pity or compassion, and some of you have that. So what's happening in our text today? Well, the NIV uses a Greek word that means to grieve over something or be displeased. So here's the question, and you don't have to answer it out loud, and answer to yourself. If you're not sure, I can talk to you about it later. Is it really possible that Jesus is angry with the leper over his request? I'm thinking, no. There's no way that Jesus is angry that this guy is asking. So what is going on here? Well, some commentators say that Jesus' anger, his indignation, was directed toward the destructive influence of sin in the world. In other words, he was looking at this desperate man on his knees, covered with leprosy, emotionally, physically, and spiritually just a mess. And Jesus sees him and realizes that in the beginning, he was there. When God created the heavens and earth, Jesus was there. And he realized that creation was good and he had made all things good. And Jesus is seeing this visual illustration of the effect of sin on this world. And it makes him angry. Because this is not what God wanted. This is not God's purpose. It makes him angry. And it moves him to compassion. And another reason why I believe that compassion is in order here, even with the word indignant, is because of what Jesus does next. Look in your Bibles. What does he do next? It says he's angry, but then he moves to this compassion. It says he reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Don't miss the steps of compassion here. Try to visualize it if you can. This man is on his knees, and he's approached Jesus, and it says Jesus reached out his hand. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't just do this. "I'll stay a safe distance. I'll just wave at you." That wouldn't have been compassionate. He reached out his hand, and then compassion step number two, what did he do? Touched him. "Lord, what are you doing?" You know there's a crowd. You know Peter's working through some stuff, because Peter always is. Thomas is like, "This isn't going to end well." Poor Thomas. Reaches out and he touches him. But he's not done with the compassion, is he? "I am willing." He's not done. That's only step three. Step four, he says the two words this man's wanted to hear his whole life. "Be clean." What? "Be clean." How compassionate. Jesus doesn't turn away this man or turn away from this man or send him away in anger. Listen, folks, he compassionately, surprisingly, and scandalously touches the man. "Lord, don't do it." Too late. I love how the compassion moves to the cure. It says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. That word "immediately" in the original language is important here. At once, right away. There's no doubt, you don't need to have any kind of a modern day video rendition of this, even though I know they may be helpful. You're watching like a Bible story on video, and I know some of you think about, "Oh, I saw one of those." Great. Even if I don't see those things or haven't seen those things, I know that when it says here that immediately he was healed, you know what it means? Immediately. Right away. No problem. Here's what it means, folks. Any visible signs of the leprosy would have been immediately healed and the skin restored. You understand what's happening here in this cure? Two things. This man is experiencing, at least. First of all, when Jesus says, "Be clean," he sees it. It's gone. Because remember, he's covered. What he can see is gone, isn't it? But not just seeing it. I was thinking about this just the other day. He didn't just see it. You know what else he did? He felt it because he had parts of his body where he lost all sensation of pain. And now he's like, I can feel. Now, I have all my fingers back. My nose is restored. And I can feel my extremities. If there was a leprosy dance, he probably did it. Like a leprosy cleansing dance. He saw it and he felt it. Jesus makes the unclean clean. Compassion and cure. Amazing. Now, if it was me, I probably would have ended the story here. Yay, let's go out. He gets cleansed. But there's more here on purpose. And the final part of our text deals with a few commands and some consequences. I think it's very interesting. Verses 43 to 45. It says in verse 43 that after the healing, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. I mean, send him away at once means go now. Strong warning, sternly. So you're like, what's he going to tell him? Well, Jesus gives him two commands. First of all, verse 44, see that you don't tell this to anyone. You say, what? I can't tell anybody? Well, here's the thing I think he's focusing on. I think Jesus is telling him, don't tell people that I did this for you. And you may be thinking, well, why would he do this? Well, Jesus wanted to avoid a premature or erroneous response to him. He was still in the beginning of his ministry. He did not want his identity declared until he had kind of decided or declared the character of his mission. One writer put it this way, Jesus does not want people to come to him to get what they want. He wants people to come to him to get him. So he tells them, don't tell anyone. Then there's the second command where it says, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. A priest was required to inspect the leper and confirm the healing, and a temple offering was made as well. I think this verse is, part of the verse is interesting as well because I think this testimony to them really is a testimony to the priest that it really happened. He was really cleansed. As he showed himself to the priest, it's like, it's all gone. Wow. Others have also said that it was also a testimony to the priest because it would be an incriminating witness. And this is what I mean by that. A lot of the priests towards the end would turn on Jesus, deny Jesus, reject Jesus. And the incriminating witness would be this. You declared this man healed, but you're rejecting the healer. How is that? So Jesus gives these two commands to this man. And then in verse 45, the end of our text, here are the consequences. Instead, I don't know that he didn't go to the priest, but at least not right away because he's like, I got to do something else. Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You see three consequences of this man's actions. There was no easy entry for Jesus in any town without large crowds. He had to stay outside in lonely places, yet people still flocked to him. Listen to what one commentator writes about this verse and this narrative. He writes, ironically, Jesus and the leper have traded places. The leper is now on the inside with family and friends. Jesus is on the outside in a lonely and desolate place. So this untouchable's healing story in Mark 1 is a clear picture as we move to some application here. This story of the untouchable's is a clear picture of what I call the gospel exchange. The gospel exchange. And I want you to stay kind of locked in with me for the next few minutes here as we talk about the gospel exchange because it's important for every single person in this room. The gospel exchange. And how this story illustrates it. First of all, I want us to notice, reflecting on this story and reflecting on the gospel exchange, I want us to first of all notice our condition. Our condition. On the authority of Scripture, not my own opinion, and including myself in this, for those that might be slightly offended, that's okay. We are all under the curse of sin and its effects. All of us. That's our condition. If you're not sure if the Bible speaks of it, let me just read a few parts of some verses for you. For all have sinned and fall short of the holiness of God. How many have sinned? How many would that include? Does it include you? Your neighbor? Person sitting next to you? Oh, yes. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible goes on to say the wages of sin is death. The heart, our heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The Bible says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I will never forget what Reed shared a few weeks ago about children, vipers and diapers. Wow, that is awesome, Reed. I'm sorry, that's not the only thing I remember, but I did remember that. He's like, that's all you remember? Yes. Wonderful baby dedications. Right? No, but they need Jesus because they're sinners. Really? Yes. You know where sin is sometimes most obvious and evident early on in a child's life? The church nursery. It's mine. Even if they can't say mine. Every church nursery has a bully. They do. I don't know who's ours. I don't want to know. I just look into the nursery, I try to get them all riled up, and then I leave. But folks, that's our condition right from the start. The Bible also says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. That's our condition. John Piper said this, sin is like spiritual leprosy. It deadens your senses, so you rip your souls to shreds and don't even feel it. That's our condition. This is our condition, but thank God for our cure. Our cure. Jesus and the leper in this text are a beautiful picture of substitution. The substitution atonement of Jesus. This is at the heart of the gospel. This is our cure. This is why Jesus came. He will take on himself our sin, our shame, and our sorrow. In exchange, he gives us forgiveness, holiness, and his righteousness. Praise God, what an exchange. And just like it was complete for the leper, when you come to Christ, he completely takes care of your sin and gives you his righteousness. But God shows his love for us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Like in the story, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to be the cure. That's part of the gospel exchange. So we have our condition, we have our cure, and then we must move to our commitment. And this is really where I want you to pay attention, our commitment. When I talk about our commitment, my mind is drawn back to our narrative today. Remember with me that the leper fully, fully understands his condition, right? There's no doubt in his mind. He knows what he has, right, folks? Come on. He's covered with leprosy. There's no doubt in his mind. He fully understands his condition. And he seems to anticipate Jesus as his cure. But what's next? Well, remember his words to Jesus. He said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice his commitment here. He humbles himself before Jesus in commitment to be his cure. He basically says to Jesus, I can't do this. I need you. And we must get to that moment. It's more than just agreeing that we're all sinners to some degree, or that we have a condition that is spiritually fatal. It's more than just understanding that there's a cure. What is the commitment that we're making? The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one could boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful verse, but there's a commitment in there. There's a commitment in there. And I want you to know right here, right now, even as some are watching, Jesus is still willing to cure people today. Jesus is still in the healing business. And through his Spirit, he may be drawing someone right now to make this commitment to him through humility, repentance, and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Today could be your cure day. And perhaps you feel something moving inside of you, and it's the Spirit of God saying, you know what, you need this cure. You need to respond to this cure. You find yourself understanding the condition that you're in, and you realize you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. Today, right here, right now, could be the day that you move from simply being a person who believes in Jesus to a person who becomes a follower of Jesus. And I want to pause for just a moment to share that with you. If you're not sure of that, if you're not sure if you have received personally that cure, that you've embraced that cure, that you have made that decision to be a follower of Christ, you've said to Jesus, I need you. I don't just need you to have a better day. It's not why Jesus came, to give us better days. That's what you're hearing on TV. That's not what Jesus came for. He came for because I was sick, and so are you in our sin. And if you've never embraced that cure, just simply make that commitment to God right here, right now. Say, God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose again, and I want this cure. I want this cure. I admit my condition. I repent of my need for Jesus. And you can do that right here, right now. I want you to just bow your heads for just a moment. Close your eyes. Just a moment here. The Spirit of God is just encouraging me to take this moment in silence, not distracted, where we think about where we're at with this commitment. And perhaps you want to make that commitment. I'm encouraging you to do that right here, right now. You can be praying to God something like this, and there's nothing magical about the prayer. It's just communication to God about your commitment. And perhaps you want to say this right here, right now to God. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I come humbly before you, believing that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. God, I repent of my sins and realize I need a cure for my condition. And I choose right here, right now, to humble myself and become a follower of Jesus Christ. And as your heads are still bowed and your eyes are closed, if you kind of prayed that to God today, I would love to pray for you. So just quickly, just raise your hand. I won't call you out. I won't mention you or make you come forward. But if you did that, just quickly raise your hand, because I'd love to pray for you. And I'd love to encourage you in that way. And also, I want to encourage you, if you've made that decision, that you tell somebody about that. Thank you, God, for the commitment that people have made to Christ. And I pray that we'd be willing to share that and embrace that even now. Amen. There's one and final thing here about the gospel exchange. And I think this is really kind of, I'm moving a little bit outside the text, so don't get too upset with me here. You have our condition. You have our cure. Then you have our commitment, and that's certainly in the text. And the last one is our command. Our command. And the reason why I say I'm moving outside the text is because right after Jesus heals the man, doesn't he give him some commands? And they're saying, like, don't tell anybody. Well, I want you to know it's just a little bit different. Outside of text would be this: if you have been cured of your condition through Jesus Christ, he has a new post-healing command. Here it is: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Basically, he says, you need to go tell people you were sick, you found the cure, and you want to introduce them to the healer. That's our command. I'm going to give you permission this morning to go and tell somebody what Jesus did for you. That's what we're to do. That's our command, to move our way into sharing that. Tell somebody about your condition, your cure, and your healer. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, the untouchables, Jesus heals a leper. Why don't you stand with me? As best you can, let's finish this way. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Are dismissed.